Good morning, everyone. I am Satya. I'm a PhD student at University of South Florida. And as Alan was saying, we all like to whine. And last year, I was here at Soups talking about the burnout problem among security analysts, right? So there's a lot of issues I brought about, but did we do something about them? Well, this talk is going to be about some of the solutions that we came up with. Well, first of all, it's very hard to study analysts in security operations centers. So if you had been in the keynote by Costa two days ago in the security information workers workshop, you might have figured out how hard it is to even conduct interviews of analysts. So he also mentioned that there is a secrecy culture in SOCs which prevents even entry of the researchers. So how do we study such a secret culture? Well, we then found out that there is a discipline called cultural anthropology, which is exactly meant to study people or indigenous cultures, right? So, well, we're not really studying indigenous cultures here yet. It's a good approach for us to take. Well, for that, we put together a team of graduate students and my advisor, along with our anthropologist, Michael West, shown here. And in order to do a deeper study, we spent almost 4 years in four different security operations centers by taking up different roles like level one analyst, incident responder, level two analyst, and even software developers. But I can see that many of you are wondering when I say anthropology, you might be thinking about studying some indigenous cultures such as this. Well, our anthropologist actually did this. But I'm not going to talk about that. So the nice thing about anthropology is it's a study of humans in all places, at all times, and that means it can be applied to studying culture in security operations centers. Well, the first thing I want to point out here is, what is a SOC in the first place? So a SOC is a dedicated business unit within a larger organization, and their main job is to protect their organization from cyber threats. And in addition to this, they also have to make sure that they are compliant with certain regulations imposed by government and also follow some standard best practices, right? So we figured out there is a usability issue here. First of all, they use a number of tools, and most of them are broken. And what was more interesting is the usability does not lie in the tool itself. The tool is just part of a larger social structure that either decides the tool to be useful or useless. And it is this concept that I want to talk about. But looking at this picture and from a popular culture, you might just think that a SOC is a very fancy place to work, right? But let me show you what a typical SOC looks like.
Too hard, escalate. Too long, escalate. Too hard, escalate. Ooh, easy.
Well, this is how it looks like. A life of a security analyst is very mundane, and all they do is dispatch events. And looking at this, you might think, yeah, this is just an easy job, right? Anybody can do this, but wait and watch.
Can you check the client's
access? Access.
Can you check
no
the
access?
Can you check the
no access?
Can you check the client's
no access?
Well, the poor guy is trying to do his job, but then he is not given access. In other words, he's not empowered to do his job either. And they are always frustrated, which is, again, going back to a burnout paper last year. But how do they deal with this frustration, right? Let's see.
Frankie Tables was blocking the loopback interface and their tools couldn't communicate.
Did you document that?
Well, they deal with this by telling some nerdy jokes like this. But as you would have seen, they had to deal with some objectives which are not really interesting, like documentation. Who wants to do that? But there is more to this.
The internal tool is broken again.
Did you check the documentation?
No, where is it?
You should document that.
Well, easier said than done, right? The tools are broken, as always. And in other words, the tools are not usable at all. And unfortunately, nobody understands the problem, including the software developers who design tools for them, let alone the manager. And then this.
Did you document that? Did you document that?
So now you know the context, right? It's a very boring place to work, and it's a lot of frustration going on there. And you could see that say, something is seriously wrong. Why would anybody want to work in a place like this, right? Well, that's enough whining. Let's see what's actually going on here. First of all, we have to help them, right? How do we help them? As researchers, it's a sad situation that we have failed to fix this problem after years of research in usable security. And technologists, which includes tool developers, they also have failed to come up with a useful tool. Think security information event management solutions, right? Or SIEM, as they're called. And the management for years, they couldn't figure out how to keep these guys happy. So there is a lot of social issue going on here, and the tool is just a part of a bigger problem. And how do you understand this problem better than just viewing it from a viewpoint of an analyst, right? And that's exactly what anthropology is about. They call it attaining the native point of view. Here, I'm going to speak from my own experience of going through processing a security incident in one of the SOCs. So, like I said, this is going to talk about how to fix this problem, right? So, typically, the workflow looks like this. I receive an alert with some information like an IP address, timestamp, and whatnot, and they tell me one of my machines is infected. But, okay, which one is that? I have to go through my logs, figure out the MAC address or the user or the owner, whatever that is, put all the information together into a ticket, and then send it to the person who is responsible to do this or take care of this incident. And this requires considerable amount of time, 10 minutes per alert. It may look nothing, right? But I have to deal with this like 15 alerts per day. And it's over 2 hours of work, not just for me. It's for all my fellow analysts. And the immediate question that comes to your mind is, why it takes so long? It's such a simple process, right? Just going through a bunch of logs. And then the second natural question is, if it's so boring and you're doing it again and again, why nobody automated that? Well, that's a good question. And to answer these questions, we have to take a step back and look at in a broader perspective of what's going on here actually, not just this incident. So you have your analyst, and he has an objective, which is to detect and mitigate security threat for the organization. And as everyone knows, cyber threats are evolving every day, and you have to be really creative to detect them, right? But there is a dual objective for a SOC. Yeah, they're not there to just like find fancy threats, right? Yeah, they have to tell the organization why are they there, or in other words, return on investment. They have to tell them how the money is spent on them and why it's useful. So the manager, where does he go? He goes to the analyst and tells them, give me the metrics. How many tickets did you close? How many of you heard of that? That means the analyst has to spend significant amount of time doing the task that is very aligned with just generating these metrics. So now they're confused. Okay, I have to be creative. I like to be creative, but I have to give this guy the metrics. What do I do? Well, can I use some of the tools to automate this metric generation and then do my creative task? Well, they look up to the most interesting tool in the SOC, which is a SIEM. And tools in the SOC in an ideal world must be useful to the analyst, right? In other words, they must be automate the repetitive task and help the analyst focus on the interesting ones. But unfortunately, there is a black sheep here, which is compliance, right? The tools are purchased mainly because of industry best practices or regulations posed by factors outside the SOC. As a result, the tools just focus on giving or generating the metrics. So the analyst is now really confused. And it's not just the analyst. There's a number of duality or tensions going on in each of these nodes as indicated by this lightning bolt. So the green factors indicate the attributes that you really want to achieve, but the red ones are what actually pulling them down. So now we see tensions or contradictions at different points of a security operation center, right? So this is enough whining, as I said already, but did we do something to help them? That's what I'm going to talk about from now. So our first realization was that the analyst has a conflict with the tool, right? So we have to fix that first to make them creative and also give them and help them to give the numbers to their management. So we found that the analyst is going through a number of logs one by one, like logging into firewall logs, and they are logging into DHCP logs, and they're logging into ARP logs and whatnot. This consumes a lot of energy and time. So we first build a database, put them together, and make it a centralized repository. And to make it easier to search and retrieve alert pertinent information, we index them. And some of you might see, OK, is that what a SIEM is supposed to do? Well, unfortunately, the SIEMs deployed here did not do this. And this is a serious usability issue with popular SIEM solutions. And with this effort, we were able to achieve this, which is a significant reduction in effort and time. And this is a very trivial process, as you can see, but there's a lot goes on inside to make it work. like I said, before a tool was deployed, as you can see, the balance is tilted toward these red factors. Like the analyst was just generating metrics, and the SOC was just showing ROI, and compliance was a major factor that determined if a tool will be deployed or not. But after you deployed a tool, something else happened here. So the creativity of the analyst increased because our tool was automating the mundane task. And then they were able to generate the metrics easily out of the tool, and the SOC was doing more interesting threat detection now. And the tool, rather than being just compliant, it became really useful. I have to stress here that it is this factor that made the tool usable in this SOC, not just the technical efficiency of just reducing the incident processing time. And with this, the tension that was between the analyst and the tool is gone. Well, now everything looks rosy and happy, right? Wait for the story. Something else happened after this. The realization is that so far we have been talking about a single analyst, right? But the analyst is part of a larger social structure. It includes fellow analysts, there's management, and there's end users who they work with and protect them, right? So they all take up specific roles. For example, within the analyst, like I mentioned, there's a level one, level two forensics and incident response. And in other words, you can call this as a specialty, right? So everybody wants to do only tasks that they're really good at. But then, with the introduction of a tool, something else happened. The manager comes in and he says that, okay, with this tool, I can free my incident response analyst, who is very creative, and let my compliance analyst do this repetitive task of processing this malware incident. But then, it leads to something else. So they have to be now expert in cross domain, right? But the compliance analyst does not like this. That's not my job. Why should I do this? But that's what happens, right? You cannot say no to your manager. So this creates two additional conflicts now. So the compliance analyst doesn't like the new objective, and they look to the tool, the incident response tool, and say that, okay, I have to do this job, but the tool doesn't really help me. So there is a new insight here, which is, when you deploy any tool or any solution inside a SOC, it's going to create additional conflicts. And conflict has a negative connotation in a general sense, but trust me, these are actually the points where you can start innovating, like I'm going to show you now. And I also have to point out that these conflicts are not artificial or newly created by our tool. These are inherent, and addressing them means either failure or success of innovating in SOCs. Like I said, so what we did was we sat with the compliance analysts and asked them what features would they like. And it was actually, the problem was mainly the tool was command line based and they wanted a web interface with certain features. We addressed that and then something else happened now. There is no more conflict with the tool, with the compliance analyst, and they were able to achieve the objective, and the tension within the division of labor is now mitigated. So with this, we come to the second major insight, which is, a security operations center is a dynamic system. Things keep changing all the time. You cannot deploy a static solution and think that it will be a solution forever, which is unfortunately what the SIEM solutions are doing now. Conflicts will keep arising, and look at them as a positive points for innovation. You have to do this on a continuous basis. Otherwise, your tool will not be used. And this is not just for any tool. It's for any innovation that you want to introduce in a SOC. And I also have to point out that the analysis we presented is not ad hoc. It's based on a well-established theory in psychology and anthropology called activity theory. It's actually proposed by Engström. He's a Finnish researcher around the year 1987. And for more detailed description on further tensions, I'd like you to refer to a paper. And this insight did not come in a few months' work. Actually, we spent a lot of time, like 3.5 years, and we didn't just go to one SOC. It was 4 different SOCs. 2 of them are academic, and 2 of them are corporate SOCs. And we have to spend at least 6 months in each of these SOCs to gather data. And it is not just one person. There are four different graduate students, and there was one undergraduate student, all of them working in multiple roles. It's not just one role, right? And when we had all this data, we used a rigorous analysis method called template analysis to further come up with our deeper insights. Well, in this work, we analyzed tensions or problems that arise within this security operations center, which is just part of a large organization. tensions that can arise between the SOC and other business units, such as this.
Is that compliant?
It's out of our scope. Out of our scope.
Is that secure?
We're compliant.
Is it secure?
We're compliant.
Some of you can already relate to the problem here, right? So analysis of tension such as compliance as outside the realm of the SOC is going to be a consideration of future work. With that, I would like to close this talk with this message. Thank you.
Questions?
I'm Prashant from CMU. I have a couple of questions. The first question is, how did you get access to these the analysts? Because that's a very difficult task. Can you tell us about that?
Well, it takes a lot of time. So we started this work 3.5 years ago in an academic environment. So you have to gradually build the trust. Okay. And first, you have to tell them what they would get by allowing you inside. So only when there is a mutual buy-in, things might go in the right direction. So I have to keep producing value to them. So one of the key things they want you to do is do the mundane task, right? Mm-hmm. There's always more work to do. And if you volunteer to do those tasks in the first place, then only you can do what you want, which is to come up with innovative solutions and whatnot. So okay. trust building and willing to do the repetitive task, I would say that's the first step. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. My second question is, you talked about contradictions within an analyst and contradictions between an analyst and a tool. Did you look at contradictions like within a team, like between pairs of analysts or between analysts and probably the incident response, like the hierarchy, like teamwork and things like that? Because I see you said that they do cope up with these frustrations by, you know, through social means. So there could be two things, like there could be issues within the teamwork that could be, you know, seen in the work. And there could also be tools that could help bring out, you know, the collaboration that could help them, you know, with the performance and the work.
Yeah, that's definitely an interesting perspective that you'd like to pursue. So as I've shown here, this is just within a SOC. And typically, a particular activity system like the one shown here talks about one particular unit. So here, maybe just a level one and level two analyst. Mostly, I'm talking about these two categories.
Okay.
And if you want to find out tensions between two units, you might have to form a similar triangle for I don't know, incident response, for example.
Right.
So escalation could be another tension point.
Right.
So if I escalate too many events to my incident response analyst without understanding their workflow or their overload,
right.
Then I might be getting tension. So that's probably something we have to consider as a future work. Yeah.
Okay, yeah, because we've done some work on teamwork in cyber defense, more so from a lab-based work, so I can probably...
Sure, we can talk offline. Yeah,
sure.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Any other questions?
I have a question. I'm glad you brought up the activity theory slide because this is perhaps the first work I'm aware of that in our field that uses activity theory. And I think it's really great. And I'm wondering, do you have any advice for anyone else who think it may be applicable to the research that they're trying to do in applying activity theory to their research?
Actually, there was a work by Costa 2 years ago in SOUPS.
Yes.
It's about designing tools for access control. And actually, that was the first paper I read in SOUPS that used activity theory.
Okay.
So I would say activity theory applies to any studying any environment where humans collaborate and work together. For example, so talking about any other field within
in general, just feel free to take it however you like.
I mean, this occurred naturally to us. To be honest, so we didn't just pick this theory just because we want to use it. So
right.
I cannot predict in advance where it will be used. All I can tell you is any environment, any modern day work environment, if you want to study them, this readily applies. So the literature I followed was studying health and online learning, and what else? It's architecture firms when they migrate from hand-drawn diagrams to, I don't know, digital design. So you lose some creativity there, and you have to conform to mass production. That creates a tension with the analysts, not the architects. So that's when I thought, can it be applied to our data, which is collected from a modern work environment, a security operations center? So I would say, if you have a modern work environment that you would like to study, this theory is a handy tool to, I would say, anchor all your observations. So, yeah.
Great. Thank you very much. Thank you. Let's thank the speaker.